J6, number 17A.
Yes, so we can see that Mrs. Eddy says we take the inspired word of the Bible as our sufficient guide to eternal life. Well, this is why I have put out, as I mentioned before, this diagram on the one book, because it shows that we begin then with the Bible, as I've said now, and we go on to the textbook and on to the model of being. It's only when consciousness flows in the order of a subject, in the law of a subject, does one really begin to let that law become one with their consciousness. And I noticed and have noticed over the years in practice with the various Kapler and Dorley students that when they come out of the church especially, or even out of the world belief, they want to take the same atomistic study that the church gives into this study and not realize that they're doing it, insofar as they feel that now that they've found the Dorley Kapler work, which gives the science of the Bible and the science of the textbook, the science of our life experience, that whatever they read, a little bit out of Kapler one day and a little out of Dorley the next, and maybe a little out of Kapler's oneness book one day and a little bit out of his structure book the next day and a little bit out of his development book the next day and a little bit out of the compendiums, that they're studying structurally because his subject's structurally. Well, that is an atomistic study, that we should begin a study and follow it through in a step-by-step way, that because, you see, these subjects are presented in laws. Now, of development. Always, whatever the subject is, you can see if it's a minor prophets, it begins from its premise and goes to its conclusion. If you're on it, stick with that whole subject till you finish it, because that gives you the law of the minor prophets. So, or with the epistles, stick with it from beginning to conclusion, because the subjects are presented in their premise, which develops step by step to their conclusion. If you take a little out of it here and a little out of it there, consciousness never learns to think from premise, develop to conclusion within a category of being. So we can see how the thousand-year periods develop according to mind and spirit and soul and principle and life and truth in love. That's a law. That's that law of unfoldment throughout evolution. Now, the books of the Bible follow that law of unfoldment. As I've said now many times, Genesis with the first thousand-year period, story of the first and second record, you get that tonality of mind of the first thousand-year period. I'll show you how you can study it with the mind compendium. And then when you go on to the Noah story within Genesis, you get the spirit tonality. Well, Noah builds on the first thousand-year period. If you study Noah and then you jump to all the way into a little bit out of the Gospels and then maybe back to Noah and then a little bit out of the minor prophets and back to Noah, we never build up a logical flow. But Noah says why that second thousand-year period comes after the first thousand-year period. And then Moses says why the third thousand-year period of soul comes after the second thousand-year period of Moses, which comes after the first thousand-year period. And then the kingdom of Samuel only comes after what we've learned through Joshua and Judges, which we've learned from the Noah story, which we've learned from there, you see. Then what follows the kingdom period would be the minor prophets. They build on the kingdom period to go out from principle. And then Jesus' life of the four Gospels builds on the preceding 4,000-year period. And then Paul builds on the Gospels of Jesus' life in the epistles. And then Jesus in the Revelation to John is telling of the textbook that's coming. And then the textbook tells the story to how to be a Jesus in our individual life experience. And then the model of being, which we're going to talk about now, builds on it all. It brings it all into a synthesis. So that's why I mentioned yesterday why I feel this class is so important, and I always feel that an introductory class presents the overall view, and I always wonder if in students, as I said at the close of the evening, do they see that big picture of where the subjects fall? what they're studying. Do they see where the subjects of the minor prophets falls within the 4,000-year period? Do they see where the Gospels are within the 5,000-year period? Do they see where 1 and 2 Samuel are? That's important to find out the ordered development of the books, because you see, it's from the Kapler Institute, we give out books, a whole list of books called Books in Writing. Well, people say, well, where do I begin? All these books. Well, they're not in the order of the 1,000-year periods. They're just presented in here. So one has class instruction in order to help give the view to see the place value of our different books in writings and tapes within the overall structure of being. And that's how we can help others, plus help ourselves. So I say that now because we go on to the model of being, which is now the textbook of the 7,000-year period, which builds on Science and Health, the textbook of the 6,000-year period, which builds on the Bible, the textbook of the first 4,000-year periods. Now, as we enter into the 7,000-year period, we see then that today we're just at the turning point from the 6th to the 7,000-year period. We're really at that standpoint of truth is love, where we begin to be impelled into the love tone. And we can see in the 6,000-year period, we were presented the science. The science, which is a savior. That's what we saw yesterday, that the Christian Science textbook gives us the science which enables us, step by step, from the first chapter to the 16th chapter, the textbook puts off the old man and puts on the new. So by the end of the 16th chapter, we can say we are the city. Our consciousness is the city four square, and therefore we are that same dynamic calculus that Jesus was, as he was shown in the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How Jesus was a dynamic, tremendous individual expression of the model of being in all its laws of interdependence and operation. Well, as we said, does that stop with Jesus? Is he just a unique expression of the calculus, the divine infinite calculus? And he said, no, here is my cup, drink ye all of it, follow me. Meaning, no, you go the same way. You also will discover you are that calculus also. And that's why Mrs. Eddy said, as we've said now many times, she says, Jesus was a natural divine scientist. He just was that calculus. He came in with that consciousness to let it happen in his life, because his mother, Mary, saw that that was the origin of man. See, Jesus came forth at the end of the 4,000-year period of principle. Mary conceived that the origin of man was in principle God, and that he came forth from the Father. So Jesus' origin was from the Father, that immaculate conception, that man was from God, not from man. And so he was a natural divine scientist. But to one born of the flesh, Mrs. Eddy says, I give you the textbook. It will teach you how then to let the old man go and let the new man, as that same calculus of ideas, appear. So that is the 6,000-year period. Now, the 7,000-year period is now thought accepts that divine infinite calculus. In the 7,000-year period, it's a wonderful period wherein the model of being, as we will see, it's no longer being bound back to texts. It's no longer being bound back to the text of the Bible or being bound back to the text of the Science and Health. But in this period, it takes the essence of the Bible and the essence of the textbook and gives us the divine infinite calculus, which becomes a creative calculus of being. We're no longer bound back to sentences in the Bible or sentences in the textbook. The Bible and textbook have sprung us now in the 7,000-year period, that where we see that we are then the essence of the Bible and the essence of the textbook in operation, and that's a creative standpoint. But that is something where we have to, in consciousness, build to. So what the model of being, which is the text of the 7,000-year period, which you can find on page 63 in the study aid, then this model of being is also then explained in Kapler's book on the four levels of spiritual consciousness. Now, what we see with this particular, as we used to call it, we call it the chart also, but I like the model of being better because we have so many charts and diagrams today. To say that there's a chart, we're always giving out some kind of a chart or diagram in our class. So I think if we learn to specifically call it the model of being, then it will be always pinpointed. So as I say, Kapler in his book, The Four Levels of Spiritual Consciousness, explains in detail this model of being. Now, what we see then is we don't see any sentences, do we? This is a textbook. Isn't it a funny textbook? Do you think this looks like a funny textbook? Does, doesn't it? Aren't we used to a textbook to have, you know, an introduction and then a chapter one and a chapter two and a chapter three? That's that step-by-step unfolding of a subject from premise to conclusion. Well, suddenly we're faced with an anomaly, with an irregularity, a strange kind of textbook. Certainly not the way the Bible is a normal textbook. It begins with Genesis, develops step by step to the Revelation. So the textbook, Science and Health, is quite easy for us to grasp because it begins with the first chapter and develops step by step to the 16th chapter. So you can see there's a mutation from the 6th to the 7,000 year period. It's quite a big one in consciousness. And it's only something we can take when we have evolved through the first 6,000 year periods. Hence again, I say it over and over, the necessity of going the way and not jumping the way. Because all the Bible and textbook have done is prepare us for this state of consciousness. Now we see then that the model of being has no sentences, no words, just capitalized terms. It only is the synthesis of the divine system of reference. We see that science is composed of two values. The analysis, which we have seen. Mrs. Eddy has taken God and also the biblical writers writing the Bible, and Mrs. Eddy, the textbook, have taken God through revelation and reduced God down to its basic constituents, to the basic three categories of being. So through revelation, Mrs. Eddy and the biblical writers have presented God's nature as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. The first category of being, giving us the nature of God. Then we saw how Mrs. Eddy, through revelation and the biblical writers, could reduce God through the method of science and analysis to the second category of the operation of God, as the word Christ, Christianity, and science. Then through revelation, how Mrs. Eddy and the biblical writers reduced God through the process of analysis to the third category of the divine system of reference of science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. How the nature of God operates on different levels of spiritual consciousness. Now that we have the analysis is the first step into those categories. But a science doesn't just stop at analysis. It also has the leg of synthesis. Now bringing all those categories together into a focal point. And that's what the model of being is doing. You see the category of the synonyms on the model of being, don't we? The category of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love are here. Category one. Then we see category two, don't we, of the word Christ, Christianity, and science. The fourfold operation is there. Then we see category three, the level of science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. And this model of being is just the blending of all those categories, and which let us talk about the structure of being in its reality and laws. So you see, we see then that this is a structural, a holistic text, a structural text. It's a model of divine science. It's a model of divine cybernetics. It's that model which will show here how principle God would be on the level of science itself, are the laws of isness, which become on the law of divine science, the laws of self-organization. And those laws of self-organization are the laws of the self-operating, self-organizing, self-regulating, self-controlling being. That's what this model wants to show. There's a model of cybernetics. And so therefore, perhaps you, with your study aid, if we turn then to page 69 in the study aid by Kapler, we will see then that on page 69 that the model of being really is a model of divine cybernetics, where we see then that the law, as I said, of a science itself, that law is a law of isness, or you could say, or the law of being. But as it comes to the level of divine science, that law of being becomes a law of self-operation. And it's that law of self-operation of divine science which is the law of cybernetics, which is a self-operation, you see. Anytime you get a self, that means it's cybernetic. It operates by itself. So we don't make being operate. It operates by itself as a self-operating, self-organizing, self-regulating, self-governing. And what is it doing when it's regulating and governing? It's error preventing. That's what the level of absolute Christian science will show us, that those laws of life, truth, and love in their various combinations on absolute Christian science show that that calculus of ideas is error preventing. It keeps false beliefs from coming up, latent false beliefs. But if those latent false beliefs bring into consciousness, then the system is error correcting. It corrects those false beliefs as the Christian science level shows. So it's a cybernetic system. This is a cybernetics. It shows how being self-organizes the flow of information within a system. That flow of information, which we call ideas, which are error-preventing, as I said, they keep beliefs from coming up, and they're error-correcting. They correct beliefs. And that this is what this is, a model of divine cybernetics. So therefore, it's a model of the 7,000-year period. That's that model of love. It's that self-operating system. So it's a textbook of just 15 terms. The 7 plus the 4 plus the 4. Tremendous. I wonder whatever, you see, it's only when you get into, in the world that as it, the deep structure language of being has its surface structure, probably the closest in mathematics or symbolic logic, where they would have a textbook this abstract. So we see in the divine how as you rise, the symbols begin to disappear, Mrs. Eddy said. And so you can see how it took about 3,000 pages of symbols in the Bible to present its story. 3,000 pages of many, many symbols to present the story of the first 5,000-year period. Then it takes what? The textbook has how many? 600 pages, I think. Something like that, perhaps. In the textbook to present the 6,000-year period. Already, it doesn't need so many symbols to present the 6,000-year period. So as you rise, the symbols become more and more abstract. The biblical symbols are very natural. There's so many of them. But the textbook is already giving us fewer symbols and more abstract symbols. Because abstract means to just take the essence out of something. And then the model of being is very abstract. It has the essence of the Bible and the essence of the textbook in very abstract language. As I say, abstract means it's just taking the essence of those two books and showing the essence as, well, this is what those two books are talking about. This abstract system of reference, the vocabulary of these 15 terms which come from those three categories of being. With this, then, it means that being has infinite meaning. This is the only textbook we could have of divine science. One could not write about divine science. We couldn't put it into sentences. It would take so many books that would fill the universe to write about the implications of the model of being. It's impossible. You know, I know we all have felt that sense that when you touch an idea, you touch the infinite one, and then the infinite one seems so vast. Suddenly, when you touch the subject sometime at a point, it mushrooms so far out, it becomes so vast, you just say, oh, the implications, I can't write about it. There's no way, it's just too big. How can you take that infinite view and reduce it to sentences? And so, therefore, this is a textbook of awareness. It's what we're aware of. We certainly don't want to try to write about it. It's a textbook where we want to build up our awareness, to build up our consciousness. It's consciousness building. So it's something that builds up awareness, which finally will take us into the 8,000-year period, where you could never write about the 8,000-year period. That's just being. We have to live it out. You know, it says in the Bible, there come a time when man doesn't have to teach man. And as you notice here, under the diagram of the one book, how all this is under the word, as John Dorley showed. He showed the subject to begin with of the thousand-year periods of which Kepler went on to build on. But Dorley showed that the whole period of the thousand-year periods would be under the word. So the first 3,000-year periods are the Word as the Word. Then basically from the third into the 4,000-year period is the Word as the Christ. Then the 5,000-year period, basically the Word is Christianity. Then the 6,000-year period, the Word is Christianity going into science. And now the 7,000-year period is the Word as science. But that word comes to an end. It has a dynamics as a word, Christ, Christianity, and science, and I feel those books close. And as we go into the 8,000-year period, that seems to have much more just a being sense. When consciousness reaches that sense, it's that sense where man doesn't have to teach man through books and writings and reading and all that. Consciousness just knows. It's that all-knowing, all-intelligent mind. Mind doesn't have to be informed. Mind knows. So as consciousness enters the 8,000-year period in the eighth day, we won't have to keep reading books. See, reading books are analyzing a subject. We go through analysis, science, past science, into being itself. So we see then that that's what these books are doing. They're helping us get free of books, of symbols. So as we rise, the symbols get less and less. The language gets more and more abstract. It becomes closer to reality until finally the structure of consciousness and the structure of reality are one and the same thing, and we go on into being. That's why it's so important not to take this subject intellectually. I mean, an intellectual can show you every way you ever wanted to know about how the seven appear and the four, and we're afraid to ask, huh? It just keeps writing and writing about the system. The point is that mind is a symbol to open up the realm of mind. Spirit is a symbol which opens up the realm of spirit. Soul is a symbol which opens up the realm of soul. Principle, life, truth, and love are symbols which open up the realm of life, truth, and love. The point is to get past those symbols into being. That's why I've stressed so strongly. Concept build, yes, but then go on and get the spirit. Tonality build. And once that becomes the tone of consciousness, it becomes the structure of your being, and that's what we're after. We want to be these synonyms. We don't want to always write about them. We don't want to keep it as concept. Those who have it as an intellectual sense want to write about it, talk about it, teach about it. It just gets more and more complex. You just see every single way they want to show you that the seven appears in the world. Then every way the four appears in the world. Then every way the four levels appear in the world. It just becomes more and more complicated wordy-wise. Building up symbols and symbols and symbols and symbols. We want the symbols to disappear and that it becomes consciousness. So we're teaching ourselves and our students, and when you have work together with your family and your study groups, we keep it out. Get it out of the word and the tone as fast as possible. Concept build with ourselves and our friends, but just keep saying, now, is that the tone of consciousness? Walk around with that. Can we walk around with that as our attitude? So, because that's where being's taking us, from concepts into tonality into being. So these are symbols. This model of being is a symbol that's opening up a standpoint of awareness. Of being, where we just are that divine infinite calculus. So thank goodness we're forced through our text to leave text for being itself. So this is the last step. This model of being is the last step to being. I mean, it's the last textbook we have until we're kicked out into the realm of being. Well, it says in the Bible we have 1,000 years to go out from this practice, this textbook, because that's the model of the 7,000-year period. It just doesn't mean tomorrow we suddenly are this in operation. There's another 1,000 years period under consideration, from the year 2000, let's say, to 3000, that world consciousness will begin to become aware of the spiritual. But when it does, it will move very quickly until it will be able eventually to go on to that 8,000-year period in consciousness. So anyhow, it's wonderful the implications of this text. Now, we see then in this 7,000-year period, you know, in the seventh day of creation, gives us only two tones. The tone of love is truth and love is love. So the 7,000-year period has two big tones to it. Love is truth, meaning perfection made conscious. Do you hear love, perfection, truth made conscious? So in the 7,000-year period, which we are entering in world consciousness, that's where they're saying, now we're going to become conscious of perfection. Now, how will the world become conscious of perfection? How do you think it might be? Through the mind of Christ, huh? That's truth. So it's perfection made conscious with the mind of Christ. That's why Mrs. Eddy said, I've been a willing disciple waiting on the mind of Christ. So the whole evolution from the Bible to the textbook is putting off mortal mind, the human mind, and putting on the mind of God. So that the mind which is God is our mind. We have no other mind than the mind which is God. And then that mind can fathom infinity. See, I'm talking about love, perfection made conscious with the mind which is Christ, love and truth. So in the 7,000-year period, more and more, through culturing the model of being, from having come through the way of the Bible and the textbook to the model of being, we are putting on then that mind of Christ. And it's only then in the 7,000-year period, when consciousness has reached that, we will have that mind of Christ, which then can fathom infinity. Because we always felt what the human mind can never know the infinite. Only the mind which is God, that all-knowing mind, fathoms infinity. So in the 7,000-year period, we become more and more able to go out from that mind which is Christ and fathom perfection. Then the next tone is love in the 7,000-year period. That is perfection, yes, but now it's to accept perfection, love. Before we just had perfection made conscious, love is truth. And now love is to accept perfection love in its completeness. Do you hear the two loves? To accept perfection, love, in its completeness, love. And that could have only been done by love as truth. Perfection made conscious through the mind of Christ now in